This time of the year, and really every time of the year, we should take time to remember the Pilgrims and Indians at their first Thanksgiving. The Pilgrims risked much to come to America, and half of them died that first winter. Their dependence on God and their friendship with the Indians who taught them how to farm and hunt in America helped them through that first difficult year. And they gave thanks for the harvest. Likewise, we give thanks to God for His rich blessings.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
Last week, we talked about how we should praise God for who He is, not just for what He has done. But we also should praise Him for what He has done. And really, one of the things that you'll see when you look at the Bible and you think about your life, and really you think about God's blessing in your life, really, I think you should be able to see that what He has done proceeds out of who He is. Because He is a good God, because He is a loving God, because He is gracious, because He is merciful, that He has done certain things. Even, as we mentioned last week, even His judgments are merciful because they warn us that there are consequences to our actions, and they call us unto Him. And we're going to look at, again, at Psalm 136. We're not going to read the entire passage today, but the entire passage is an awesome passage that talks repetitively about God's mercy, but also shows not only who He is, but also what He has done as well. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for His mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endures forever. To Him who alone does great wonders, for His mercy endures forever. So you see, and this phrase, His mercy, for His mercy endures forever, is repeated in every verse of this psalm. And so throughout the psalm, you'll actually see, for His mercy endures forever. And one of the things that we see, though, is in the first few verses, it's talking about that He is good. That's an attribute of God, that He is the God of gods. That shows His superiority over all of those deities that are worshipped in this world. In fact, the Bible says, and I believe, that God is above all. He created all, and the other deities are fake gods. God is above all those. He is the God of gods. He's also the Lord of lords. He's not only the God of He's not only over and above every other entity or deity that would be worshipped, He is also above every earthly ruler on this earth. Even the most powerful that have ever lived, God is above them. He is over them. And His mercy endures forever. So this Thanksgiving season, we need to, and really every time of the year, this isn't the only time we should thank God. We really should thank God all the time. We're to give Him praise all the time, not just one time of the year. But this is a time of the year where we do focus on giving thanks to God and Thanksgiving. And that's because of the Pilgrims and the Indians and that first Thanksgiving that they actually had. But I want to encourage you to think about who God is and to give thanks to Him. And again, not only this time of the year, but also throughout the year, but especially this time of the year. And also thank Him for what He has done, because what He has done is something that we should thank Him for as well. And so I'm just going to go over a few of the things that I am thankful for. And really, this, when I pray, when I give thanks to God, I really quite often go over several of these things. I don't know how many of these I'll be able to get through, but just be thankful. And your situation may be different than my situation. Your upbringing may be different than my upbringing. But we all have something that we can thank God for. You know, I talk quite a bit about how I actually have been in jail. And I've been in jail for peacefully protecting preborn children from abortion. Although twice we were arrested for just kneeling in prayer on the sidewalk. We were in front of an abortion clinic, but we weren't actually blocking the doors of that abortion clinic. And really, we were just there to pray. I mean, we didn't know, but they were about to perform abortions. And maybe if they had left us there, maybe we would have blocked the doors of that abortion clinic. But we were there in prayer. We were thrown into solitary confinement while we were having Bible study. We were taken to jail where we were given, in the first part of it, we were given bologna sandwiches with two slices of white bread, one slice of bologna, and a packet of mustard. And that was our lunch. That was our supper. It was not the most pleasant. The floors were filthy. Yet in all of that, we still thanked God. We still had food to eat. We still were alive. And really, even when you're going through tough times, it's important really to thank God and to look for things that you can thank Him for. He is a good God. He is an awesome God. We need to praise Him and give Him glory for who He is and for what He has done. And so I'm thankful today to God because that while I was still a sinner, Christ died for me. You see, certainly Christ didn't die when I was born. He died a long time ago. But God looked through history and God knew that I would be born. And He knew that I would be a sinner. And He knew that I would actually need a Savior. And in Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 6, we read, "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrated His own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him." So we were without strength. We couldn't save ourselves. We couldn't redeem ourselves. We couldn't do what was necessary to earn our way to heaven. But in that weakness, in that inability to save ourselves, Christ died for us. He died for the ungodly. This He did out of a demonstration. By the way, there's several things here. First of all, God is righteous. God is holy. Because He is righteous and He is holy, He is also a God of wrath. He pours out His wrath upon the wicked. And really, all of us deserve death. All of us deserve hell. But God is also a God of love. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of grace. And God planned, before the foundations of the earth, to send His Son Jesus to die on the cross. And the Bible says that Jesus saved a multitude by His knowledge. He actually looked at those who were actually living at that time that God would call into His kingdom, and He loved them and shed His blood for them. And He also looked throughout history and the people that had lived before and the people that would come in the future, which includes us. And He actually had us on His mind. He laid down His life for us. When we couldn't save ourselves, Christ died to save us. He died for the ungodly. Now, scarcely, the Bible says here, scarcely for a righteous man will one die, but perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. And certainly, there are many people that believe they are good. But when we look at the Bible, when we look at the Ten Commandments, we realize that we have all sinned. In fact, the Bible says that just two chapters before this in Romans chapter 3, for we have all sinned, we have all fallen short of the glory of God. There is none that is good, no, not one. Every single one of us has fallen short of the standard of God. Every single one of us really didn't meet the mark. The mark is perfection, and we can't be perfect. We can try to be perfect, and we should try to be perfect. The Bible even tells us that we are to be holy as God is holy, and certainly that's something that we're not even capable of doing, but it's still something we should try to do, and we should become more like him, which means that we're becoming more holy each day. We're becoming more righteous each day. Certainly, we are righteous by the blood of Jesus, but we become more like him and less like our sinful selves as we crucify the flesh, as we discipline ourselves to follow him. But we can never be good enough to get into heaven. We can never be good enough to deserve someone dying for us. God, Jesus dying on the cross, he didn't do that because we were good. He did it despite ourselves. He did it because he loved us, because of his grace that he had for us. And God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So while you were a sinner, while I was a sinner, while we were living in sin, Christ died for us. And again, you have to realize God's not bound by time. So God looked throughout history and he saw that we would be living at this time. He saw that we would be living whenever you were born. He knew that you would be born. He knew that you would be a sinner. He knew that you would violate his commandments. I can remember being a young boy and I didn't do everything that I was supposed to do. I mean, you don't have to train a kid to be bad. You don't have to train a kid to disobey. In fact, one of the things, if you tell a kid, don't do this, that kid is going to want to do that. It's just ingrained into our nature to disobey, to do what we're not supposed to do. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were, you don't have to clean yourself up to be good enough for God. In fact, you can't clean yourself up enough to be good enough for God. God loves you despite yourself and is calling you to repent of your sins and to turn from your wicked ways. If you haven't done that yet, do that today. You can do that today. Verse 9, much more then, having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Now, why was there wrath? Again, there was wrath because God is holy, because God is righteous, and we violated his commandments. And so we justly deserve death. We justly deserve hell. We justly deserve his wrath. But God actually poured out his wrath upon his own son, Jesus, who bore the wrath, who took the punishment that was due you, who took the punishment that was due me, so that we could be saved, so that we could know him and cry out to him and praise him. I thank God also that I live in a country where the gospel is freely preached. I thank God for the sacrifices of the pilgrims who came here to America. Over half of them died that first winter. I thank God that they loved God enough and they loved freedom, freedom of worship enough to actually cross a very dangerous cross. Today, if you wanted to go from England over to the United States, you would hop on a plane probably. If you wanted to take a ship, it would be much safer. Many people didn't survive the even the travel in those days. Ships didn't survive, but thankfully they loved God and freedom enough to actually get on those ships. Thankfully, I'm thankful for them for doing that. I'm thankful for the Puritans that came over as well. Later on, they tried to stay and purify the church over where they lived, but they actually did come over, and I'm thankful for their sacrifice as well. I'm thankful for those Indians that actually helped them and taught them how to hunt, how to fish, how to farm, so that they could actually have sustenance to actually survive and to thrive. I'm thankful that they established, really, and their descendants established really the first forms of government, where you can actually have a government where it would be, you can worship God as you see fit. You're not going to be dictated to worship God like they were in England, where the king and the leaders of the church were really closely tied up, and really the king could actually order the leaders of the church to do what he wanted them to do, and they would fall in line. And really, you had to go to that church. You couldn't go to a Baptist church. You couldn't go to a Presbyterian church. You couldn't go to a Catholic church. You had to go to the Church of England. And I'm thankful for the Pilgrims and Puritans, that even the Pilgrims established their government before they left the Mayflower. Why did they do that? Well, because they landed off course. They had a charter to go to Virginia, but they didn't land in Virginia. They landed in Plymouth. They had no legal grounds to be there. And they established the Mayflower Compact before leaving that ship. And I'm thankful for what they did. I'm thankful for the early government concepts that came out of the Pilgrims and the Puritans that later led to city ordinances and also to state constitutions. And ultimately, many of those principles were put into our Constitution as well. I'm thankful for the founding fathers who were willing to pledge their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor to establish this nation. Certainly, there were colonies that existed at that time, but we know that the King of England was hostile and was oppressing them and was preventing them from living free. And I'm thankful that they actually had the courage just think about this. They were just a bunch of farmers. They had pitchforks and muskets. They didn't have cannons until they actually stole them from the English army. They didn't have ships until they actually started building those ships. And their navy was very small. Their army was not trained. Again, that first battle, we've talked about that. How many people died that first battle? Yet the colonists actually continued and actually went and continued to fight and did have somewhat of a victory that day. And I'm thankful for those men who were serving in the army that actually marched through the snow without boots, with their feet wrapped in blankets, their feet leaving a bloody trail, some of them. They worked, they served this country in the armed forces without pay sometimes, or the pay was coming too late, and they weren't properly clothed, they weren't properly equipped, but they did so anyway. And I'm thankful for God's providence in the Revolutionary War to give our country, despite not having the best equipment, despite not having the best trained men, despite not having all the resources that we needed to be able to actually defeat the British army, who at the time was the strongest army on the face of this earth. And I'm thankful that the Word of God has been able to be freely preached and proclaimed in this nation because of our founding and because of the Pilgrims and because of the Puritans and because of our founding fathers and because of the First Amendment that gives us the right to worship as we see fit. By the way, some people look at the First Amendment and think that it limits what the church and the influence that the church can have on the government, but really what the First Amendment does is it limits what the government can dictate to the church. And certainly, if you study, if you know the history of this country, you know that about half of the signers of the Declaration of Independence actually were ministers. They actually had theological degrees, and they studied the Word of God. The Bible was the primary reading book at that time. I'm very thankful to live in this country. In Romans chapter 10, beginning in verse 14, we read, "How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." And so it's vitally important that we have a society where the gospel can be freely preached. And just a few weeks ago, we actually talked about the suffering that some Christians are going through throughout the world as they are living in countries where it's illegal to be a Christian. Some of them risk death, actually, or beheading, or radical Muslims actually are coming and chopping them to pieces with machetes for believing the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are countries where you can be beheaded for converting to Christianity. And yet in those countries, there are still people who are converting to Christianity. But thankfully, in our country, we can actually hear the gospel. We can proclaim the gospel without really threat of recourse or retribution. We can actually proclaim the gospel, and we can hear the gospel. And really, even at football games, you'll see John 3:16, and you see people proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ throughout this country. And certainly we need to go to all the world and to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. But we also need to actually continue to have a free society where the gospel is proclaimed. I'm thankful to live in a time when the Bible is readily available. Think about this. The Bible talks about meditating upon the Word of God at a time before the internet existed, at a time before audiobooks and audio Bibles existed, at a time before video and streaming internet existed, before television existed, before radio existed, before the printing press existed, when people, scribes, would actually have to hand copy every single letter. One jot and one tittle couldn't fail. They had to all be in the right place. I mean, this was before, I mean, you think even in our times, before the computer, people had typewriters, and the initial typewriters didn't have autocorrect, and people would have to use whiteout or something like that. But really, if you made a mistake, as time went along, there was autocorrection where you could actually go back and strike out that letter. Of course, today we just type something out and we can make a change, and we can print out something. The Bible is readily available. In fact, the Wycliffe Society says that 97.4% of the world's population has access to at least some scripture, and that 80% have the full Bible. And there are people that risk their lives and, in fact, were executed, or at least risk execution and face trial, so that the Bible could be translated into the language of the common people. The Bible actually tells us that we are to meditate on the Word of God at a time where people didn't have the Word of God readily available to them. They heard the Word of God and they had to memorize it. They had to hide it in their heart. And maybe they would hear it once a year. They had to study it, and we are to study it. Today we have the Bible available in such great proportion. We can actually listen to the Bible anytime we want to on our phones. We can read the Bible anytime we want to on our phones. We can read the Bible is free, so freely available. It's in hospitals, it's in prisons, there's no place that you can go. If you go to a hotel, you're going to see the Bible. There's no place you can go where you can escape the availability of the Bible, especially in our country today. I'm very thankful to God for having the Word of God so freely and readily available. Each and every one of us needs to avail ourselves of these blessings. And certainly, these are not all of the things that God has done for me and for you, but perhaps you have a little bit different take on things, you know, but every one of us has experienced God's blessing, and we all need to actually continue to love Him and to serve Him with all of our hearts, mind, soul, and strength. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Lord, hasten the day when the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. When the earth rejoices for the Lord and the multitudes of the isles are glad. When the Lord has established justice in the earth and the coastlands wait for His law. When the fullness of the Gentiles comes and you call your people Israel back into your kingdom. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
This time of the year, and really every time of the year, we should take time to remember the Pilgrims and Indians at their first Thanksgiving. The Pilgrims risked much to come to America, and half of them died that first winter. Their dependence on God and their friendship with the Indians who taught them how to farm and hunt in America helped them through that first difficult year. And they gave thanks for the harvest. Likewise, we give thanks to God for His rich blessings.
Hello, this is Pastor Chaco Varghese inviting you to listen to Word of Eternal Life every Monday at 5:30 a.m. to learn more about God's plan of eternal life through Jesus Christ here at WCNO 89.9 FM.
Here's Tom Cantor, a Jewish born-again Christian and Bible teacher on Friendship with God.
And that's like people today who want nothing to do with being a believer. They don't want to be found in church. But when they see death approaching and they want to go to heaven, all of a sudden they become very religious, you know, and they claiming to be what they never were in their lives.
Friendship with God with Tom Cantor, Monday through Friday, 10:30 a.m. and 10:30 p.m. right here on WCNO.
Please listen to Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael every Saturday at 3 p.m. for encouragement from the Holy Bible for life's journey. Thank you.